The shape of our worship this morning is a little bit different. We are going to read the Passion narrative, and we're going to respond to it in a series of verses from hymns complete, and other readings. So it's a meditative service. We begin with the traditional verses from the prophet Zechariah, after which we shall join in singing a hymn that some of us have already been singing out in the cold, but perhaps with more gusto, which is All Glory, Lord, and Honour. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Alleluia. Let us pray. Draw nigh to thy Jerusalem, O Lord. Thy faithful people cry with one accord, ride on in triumph, Lord. Behold, we lay our passions, lusts, and proud wills in thy way. Thy road is ready, and thy paths made straight with longing expectation, now await their consecration by thy beauteous feet, and silently thy promised advent greet. Hosanna, welcome to our hearts, for here thou hast a temple, thy care and thy delight, but full of sin. How long shall thieves and robbers dwell therein? Enter and chase them forth, and cleanse the floor, or throw them all, that they may never more profane with traffic vile that holy place where thou hast chosen, Lord, to set thy face. And then, if our stiff tongues shall faithlessly be mute in praises of thy deity, the very temple stones shall loud repeat Hosanna, and thy glorious footsteps greet.
Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat.
And they said unto him,
Where wilt thou that we prepare?
And he said unto them,
Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is thy guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished. There make ready.
And they went, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, Jesus sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them,
With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and said,
Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.
And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying,
This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Likewise also the cup after supper, saying,
This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined. But woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them,
The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is a chief, as he doth serve. For whether is greatest, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is it not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
And the Lord said,
Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
And he said unto him,
Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death.
And he said,
I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.
And he said unto them,
But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned amongst the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end.
And they said,
Lord, behold, here are two swords.
And he said,
It is enough.
And he came out and went, as he was wont, unto the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them,
Pray that ye enter not into temptation.
And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying,
Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them,
Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.
And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him,
Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him,
Lord, shall we smite with the sword?
And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus said,
Suffer ye thus far.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him,
Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off.
I am the great sun, but you do not see me. I am your husband, but you turn away. I am the captive, but you do not free me. I am the captain, you will not obey. I am the truth, but you will not believe me. I am the city where you will not stay. I am your wife, your child, but you will leave me. I am that God to whom you will not pray. I am your counsel, but you do not hear me. I am the lover whom you will betray. I am the victor, but you do not cheer me. I am the holy dove whom you will slay. I am your life, but if you will not name me, seal up your soul with tears and never blame me.
And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said,
"This man was also with him."
"Woman, I know him not."
And after a little while, another saw him and said,
"Thou art also of them."
And Peter said,
"Man, I am not."
And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying,
"Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean."
And Peter said,
"Man, I know him not, what thou sayest."
And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying,
"Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?"
And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying,
"Art thou the Christ? Tell us."
And he said unto them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God."
Then said they all,
"Art thou the Son of God?"
And he said unto them,
"Ye say that I am."
And they said,
"What need we any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth."
And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king."
And Pilate asked him, saying,
"Art thou the king of the Jews?"
And he answered him and said,
"Thou sayest it."
Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people,
"I find no fault in this man."
And they were the more fierce, saying,
"He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place."
When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them,
Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him.
For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying,
Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas.
Who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying,
Crucify him! Crucify him!
And he said unto them the third time,
Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.
And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him for that sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus.
He never spoke a word to me, and yet he called my name. He never gave a sign to me, and yet I knew he came. At first I said, I will not bear his cross upon my back. He only seeks to place it there because my skin is black. but he was dying for a dream. And he was very meek. And in his eyes there shone a gleam men journey far to seek. It was himself my pity bought. I did for Christ alone what all of Rome could not have wrought with bruise of lash or stone.
And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said,
Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and unto the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?
Have ye no regard, all ye who pass this way, to pity me, who am a man of misery, a man both bruised and broke, and one who suffers not here for mine own, but for my friend's transgression. Ah, Zion's daughters, do not fear the cross, the cords, the nail, the spear, the myrrh, the gall, the vinegar. For Christ, your loving Saviour, hath drunk up the wine of God's fierce wrath. Only there's left a little froth, less for to taste than for to show what bitter cups had been your due had he not drank them up for you.
And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying,
He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God.
And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying,
If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.
And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, and Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying,
If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.
But the other answering rebuked him, saying,
Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.
And he said unto Jesus,
Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
And Jesus said unto him,
Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said,
Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
And having said thus, he gave up the ghost.
It is finished. The last nail has consummated the inhuman pattern, and the veil is torn. God's wounds are numbered. All is now withdrawn. Void yawns the rock-hewn tomb. There is no more regeneration in the stricken son. The hope of faith, no more. No height, no depth, no sign, and no more history. Thus may it be, and worse. And may we know thy perfect darkness. And may we into hell descend with thee.
Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying,
"Certainly, this was a righteous man."
And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
Down through the tomb's inward arch, he has shouldered out into limbo to gather them, dazed from dreamless slumber. The merciful dead, the prophets, the innocents just his own age, and those unnumbered others waiting here unaware, in an endless void, he is ending now. Stooping to tug at their hands, to pull them from their sarcophagi, dazzled, almost unwilling. Didymus, neighbour in death, Golgotha dust still streaked on the dried sweat of his body no one had washed and anointed, is here. For sequence is not known in limbo. The promise given from cross to cross at noon arches beyond sunset and dawn. All these he will swiftly lead to the paradise road. They are safe. That done, there must take place that struggle no human presumes to picture. Living, dying, descending to rescue the just from shadow were lesser travails than this. To break through earth and stone of the faithless world back to the cold sepulchre, tear-stained, stifling shroud, to break from them back into breath and heartbeat and walk the world again, closed into days and weeks again, wounds of his anguish open, and spirit streaming through every cell of flesh, so that if mortal sight could bear to perceive it, it would be seen his mortal flesh was lit from within, now, and aching for home. He must return first in divine patience and no hunger again, and give to humble friends the joy of giving him food, fish, and a honeycomb. May the power and the weakness of the crucified Lord go with you in the days ahead, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.